You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Many residents from becoming homeless. Family Promise main focus is the homeless shelter program, a network of 47 congregations and hundreds of community volunteers who provide overnight weekend shelter, home cooked meals, and companionship to the families. Family Promise of Hunterdon also offers comprehensive case management, licensed counseling services, and a donation program, all of which ensure that families who find permanent housing retain their housing. For information about the programs and funding needs of Family Promise of Hunterdon, contact their office at 908-782-2490 or email info@familypromisehc.org. Now, I've had Colleen Dewar on my show a number of times from Family Promise. It's an incredible, complex way of handling homelessness. And one of the first things we talked about is how you don't really notice how there's quote-unquote homeless people in Hunterdon County. But what you will realize is that the cost of living in Hunterdon County is so expensive that to become homeless is pretty simple. You just have to have one thing go wrong, and then you can't find the cash flow to be able to negotiate it. So Family Promise takes in these families, and they have a network of churches and other organizations that allow people to stay in those empty buildings when they're empty at night, one of which is the Rockaway Reformed Church. And people stay over with these folks to give them comfort, provide shelter, safety, make sure that everything's okay. One of the other things they do is they take those people out of those churches in the day, bring them back to the headquarters and give them training, or give them counseling, or give them the opportunity to learn about how to help themselves and get themselves out of that homeless situation. One of the huge challenges brought in here, talked about on this article, is that a person in the family, an adult, the breadwinner, who needs a job or has a job but can't get to it because they can't afford a car anymore, needs that car. So there's a need for a car to get the transportation to earn a paycheck and therefore get themselves out of homelessness or at least maintain some income to stabilize themselves. And so that's the reason for that. And then you also heard about how they also have a preemptive program where they're trying to help people who may wind up being homeless because right now they've have a short-term cash flow problem and they can't afford certain things. So is it better to wait for them to crash than bring them in as homeless? Or is it better to help them while they're in that dire straits prior to them becoming homeless? That's the argument that a lot of people will fight over. But in the end, we're all trying to get to the same game point. So if you would like to participate, go on over to Grape Finale and enjoy that fine evening to help everybody out. On November 14th, you have Cabernet and Cabaret Fundraiser. That's for the Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Hunterdon in Somerset and Warren Counties. The staff at NJ Advanced Media reports that Kathy and Karen met back in 1968 when they were 9 years old. When Karen moved from Brooklyn, New York with her family to Edison, Kathy was already living in the neighborhood. Kathy and Karen became friends, spending the time bike riding, going to the pool and beach, and having sleepovers. They share many happy memories of their childhood. And Kathy's performance in their high school plays at St. Thomas Aquinas and Edison were a highlight of their younger days. And Karen was always there to cheer her friend on. Today, Kathy and Karen have teamed up again for some fun. Kathy is a talented vocalist, and Karen is the executive director of Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Hunterdon, Somerset, and Warren. They're excited to announce Cabernet and Cabaret, a fundraiser to support Big Brothers Big Sisters of Hunterdon, Somerset Warren. This is well, it'll be a second year for this event. It will be a fun evening of good food and spirits, a silent auction, raffles, performances by professional vocalists, featuring Karen Graham and friends, with Bob Egan on the piano. Graham is an outstanding vocalist and a four-octave range. She performs Broadway show tunes, blues, jazz, pop, rock music, and innovative renditions of some of the world's most beautiful songs. Audiences across the country have been thrilled by her upbeat arrangements and vocally charged ballads. For more than 30 years, Egan has appeared at various restaurants, clubs, private parties, and corporate functions in Bucks County, Philadelphia, New Jersey, Atlantic City, and New York. He also hosts his famous monthly showcase nights and the Raz Room, New Hope. So if you'd like to learn about Cabaret and Cabernet, well, give them a call at 908-689-0435 or email Karen at bbbshsw.org. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more of Good Morning Hunterdon in just a few minutes.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom. You see me around the neighborhood, and you tell me that I'm a pretty good kid.
Well, I'm one out of every five children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger.
Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help.
Every dollar you donate helps provide 8 meals for kids like me.
We are Feeding America, brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing and a summer evening. It's everybody over for Sunday dinner. And your family sleeping in their own beds at night. Making home affordable is a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. Call
Outstanding Family Medicine Physicians and Specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Headline News. I'm Ron Taylor. Governor Andrew Cuomo is reacting to the news that New York City's mayor may finally be ready to endorse Hillary Clinton.
I think she's going to be overwhelming, and anyone who's not with her yet, the few stragglers, are going to wind up coming on board.
While Cuomo didn't mention Bill de Blasio by name, his, quote, straggler comment is perceived as a dig. More than 100 New York leaders, including both senators and every elected city leader, is on a newly announced Clinton campaign committee. President Obama and Attorney General Loretta Lynch will be in the president's hometown of Chicago today to speak to police chiefs from around the country. Obama's expected to call for tougher gun laws and speak to the broader issue of community policing in his remarks to the International Association of Chiefs of Police. A South Carolina police officer is riding a desk after turning up in a video that shows him slamming a high school girl to the floor during class. The viral video captures the moment Ben Fields of the Richland County Sheriff's Department forcibly grabbed the student from her desk and tossed her to the floor. The girl was arrested for, quote, disturbing school. You're listening to USA Headline News.
Welcome to Staples.
Hi, Staples guy. My office computers are running really slow. Do you?
Staples has the latest Windows 10 devices. They're lightning fast.
But I want...
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Last time coming 29 years ago against the Boston Red Sox in 1986. The National League champions send 13-game winner Matt Harvey to the mound in Game 1 tonight at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City, while the two-time defending American League champs will start veteran 13-game winner Edinson Volquez. It is the first World Series to feature two expansion teams. In Kansas City, I'm Chris Bales.
The American League champion Kansas City Royals are hosting, and the first pitch is at 8:07 Eastern Time tonight.
Walmart wants to get into the drone delivery business. The retailer applied to the FAA yesterday for an exemption from current drone regulations. Walmart is looking for permission to test out drone delivery to customers' homes and in its store parking lots. This is USA Headline News.
The more you learn about your insurance coverage, the more gaps you might find. Like how you thought you were covered for this.
Honey, someone stole my wedding ring!
When you're really only covered for this.
Honey, someone stole my Dakota ring!
Oh well, it was weird anyway.
Or how with renter's insurance, you're covered for
valuables, electronics, bikes, karaoke machines, waffle makers, superhero pajamas.
And without it, you're covered for talk to a farmer's agent about what gaps might be hiding in your insurance.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Tesla is hoping to crack the electric car market in China, the world's largest car market. With more, here's Joe McConnell.
China's offering incentives to companies that produce lower-emission vehicles because pollution is so horrendous. But China doesn't allow foreign car makers to make and sell cars there, so Tesla is looking for a Chinese partner. CEO Elon Musk says making the cars in China for sale in China, instead of in California, where most are made now, would make them a lot more affordable for Chinese consumers. He thinks that could happen in 2 or 3 years. I'm Joe McConnell.
Outdoor sporting goods company REI will go dark on Black Friday. The company says its 143 stores will be closed on the biggest shopping day of the year. REI's CEO Jerry Stritzke says the day after Thanksgiving is the perfect time for people to remember that, quote, being outside makes our lives better. He also encourages the company's loyal customers to skip the sales and instead spend the day outdoors. People can even take to social media to talk about their Black Friday plans with the hashtag #OptOutside. It's against the law, but age discrimination is widespread in the U.S. job market. That's the finding of a new study out this week. The National Bureau of Economic Research study released yesterday says younger job applicants got called back at much higher rates than older workers. The study found it to be the case across a wide range of jobs, from administrative to sales, security, and janitors. The study says it's even worse for older women. The authors say it's particularly true in sales positions, where they found evidence of much stronger age discrimination for women than for men. I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Headline News.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Good morning, Hunter and HunterChamber.com. I got my guest here. It's Greg DeSanctis, and he is from Raritan Valley Community College. We've been doing this for about 2 years now, and loving the enjoyment of learning all about the extra things that are going on at our community college for both Somerset and Hunterdon counties. Greg is the director of the Honors Program over there, and we're going to learn a lot about it. So let's bring Greg in and find out all about it. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. We have you here, and we're going to learn about the Honors Program. So we usually start out with the simple stuff. Who are you? How did you get involved with Raritan Valley Community College?
Sure. I've been working at Raritan Valley for over 14 years now in a variety of roles, initially in the financial aid office, before I moved into academic advising. I was an advisor for about 5 years, and I was lucky enough to work with the New Jersey STAR students, which is a scholarship program for high-achieving high school graduates, students who graduate in the top 15% of their class and who choose to attend their home county college for free tuition throughout their 2 years. Mm-hmm. After working with this group for several years, the college decided to create an honors college, a separate cohort of students within Raritan Valley. Right. And I was fortunate enough to be asked, since I had been working with these high-achieving students already as a New Jersey STARS advisor, to coordinate the honors program with a faculty partner at Raritan Valley.
Wow.
We've now been doing this for 5 years, and we're in the midst of recruiting for our sixth cohort currently.
Wow. That's the beginning, right? So we're just talking about the honors program and how that got all started. But let's talk about Greg a little bit. How long you've been in Raritan Valley Community College?
I've been at Raritan for 14 years now.
Well,
and in advising and counseling specifically for 8.
Okay, and what was your aspirations prior to getting to Raritan Valley? What did you originally study for?
Well, actually, my story is a bit unique, and it's somewhat coincidental that I work at a community college now, given that it was not a clear career path for me. I went to college as a finance major with hopes of becoming a stockbroker. Mm-hmm. That didn't work out. After a major change into human resources, I eventually got a degree in human resources.
Uh-huh.
That didn't work out after about 6 weeks on the job, so I'm a college graduate with a career that I don't really particularly enjoy. And after pit stops working part-time construction, and then eventually working for several years as a librarian, I found my way to Raritan Valley, fortunately, in a job in the financial aid office. So it kind of came full circle. I started out with a career hoping to be in finance, and fast forward about 10 years, and I have a job working in financial aid.
Wow.
And then I was fortunate enough once in financial aid to really find my calling, which was helping students and help them reach their goals and dreams.
Neat. Now, what's really interesting about that is that in my experience, and I've mentioned this on a couple of other shows as well, I've read that the students today are going to experience about 11 different career changes in their lifetime.
Yes.
And now we couple that with the fact that Raritan Valley Community College, the students that are going in there today usually don't have a set career path. They usually don't have it all figured out yet, and they're going there to try a couple of things out. There's more internship time programs now that are being available at RVCC and other places. So you're kind of a model for that situation. You get that experience.
Absolutely. When I advise students, I try to relate to them. That's the best way to advise somebody, is that you can share a connection to show them that you understand what they're going through.
Right.
And for them, they initially might see my title and assume perhaps I was one of those people who had life figured out from the time I was 10 years old, and I had a direct career path and knew exactly what I wanted all along.
Sure.
And once they hear a little bit about my struggles, my trying plan A, plan B, plan C, some ups and downs in my life to eventually get to a career that I'm well suited for, I think it gives them a calmness that allows them to realize they don't have to figure out life at 18.
They don't have to have an answer for everything.
It's an ongoing process to eventually reach, you know, to reach that perfect fit.
Excellent. Excellent. So, all right. So you've been through everything, and now you've come full circle, and we now are at RVCC. Let's go before college, though. What were you thinking of doing before you got into college? What was your initial decision? Was it really a stockbroker?
Yeah.
In high school?
I saw the movie Wall Street
with
Charlie Sheen, and I was enamored, and I thought, wow, this is a glamorous lifestyle, and like a lot of 17, 18-year-olds, I wanted to make a lot of money, and you know that was the only thing that mattered was making a lot of money. And again, it's somewhat coincidental or ironic that I work at a college now, because I don't think I could have approached the process more poorly had I tried. I picked my college because I liked the football team. I went to Penn State. I picked my major because I saw a movie that I thought inspired me and might look cool.
Okay.
I never sought out advising, so it's kind of, again, somewhat surprising that I am an advisor, because I never actually sought any advising out.
Now we're getting Freudian, because now you're saying that you're an advisor now because you probably could have used it.
Well, I tell students that part of my job now is to help them avoid some of the pitfalls I experienced because I was either too proud or didn't know who to ask. And so I tried to figure things out on my own. And now knowing they're professionals who actually may know a little bit more than an 18-year-old, use those services, avail yourselves of all the resources Raritan any school has to offer, and you can sometimes avoid some of the stops and starts that I experience as a result.
Yep, excellent. All right, so stockbroker from and then into Penn State, very cool. We have a rivalry. I'm from Northwestern, so
oh boo,
and we kicked your butt last year. See, I get to say that at least once because we don't normally get to do that. Anyway. So now you're at RVCC. You've been there for 14 years?
Yes, 14 years.
And lots of different changes in your life there, right?
Absolutely.
So now we have this honors program, and what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about how the honors program evolved and how it got started.
Sounds great.
All right, you're listening to Good Morning Hunter and Hunterberry.com. I got Greg DeSantis here, and we'll talk more with him in just a moment.
Good evening, this is Dr. Blood and my pal Igor. We want to invite you to visit us at the Haunted Village at the Red Mill in Clinton, New Jersey. Come by to have a cup of hot tea with me on October 9th, 10th, 16th, 17th, 23rd, and 24th. Tickets are on sale online at the redmillhauntedvillage.org. The prices are $30 for regular admission and $45 for express pass. Don't forget to scare up a coupon from our local merchants. We hope to have you soon.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Good morning, Hunter and Hunterberry.com. I got Greg DeSantis here. We're talking about the RVCC Honors Program. And so we learned a little bit about Greg and how he got into his current role. And now we're going to talk a little bit about the Honors Program itself. So isn't it normal that most schools, I mean, you know, we go into high school, and you and I have both been talking off air about being in college, that there's all sorts of either fraternities or honor societies that are out there. Is this honor program similar to that, or and was there something prior to this, and this is replacing that?
Sure. Well, I think that what you're describing is very common at a four-year school, but not nearly as common at a community college. Many community colleges in New Jersey and nationwide have honors programs. But what we have is an honors college, the difference being that ours is a cohort-based model where students come in at the same entry point and take the same classes together throughout their 2 years prior to earning their associates. There's a fixed set of classes that they all have to take together.
Okay.
Because in addition to the academics, we're trying to build this. We're trying to build the extracurricular, the co-curricular, the part of that engagement that you don't feel at a community college as often, where you may be feeling like.
Right.
The dorm, the weekend experience, the football games, all that.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to create a greater sense of connection with these honors students by allowing them to take the same classes with the same students and then support those classes with extracurricular, co-curricular activities.
Okay. Wow. All right. So I'm going to have a ton of questions on this now. So it's an interesting philosophy. What do you think was the impetus for that?
Well, the Honors College... Initially, we always had honors classes at Raritan Valley. We've always had high-achieving students at Raritan Valley. But they often had to set their own course if they wanted to push themselves. Mm-hmm. They had to choose to take an honors class. There was nothing put in front of them saying, you have to take this as part of a learning objective, or if you want to reach your goals, you need this class.
Right.
So they had to, in a way, self-motivate. It wasn't the structure, perhaps, they were used to. In high school, where you had like an AP track or some sort of track where that keeps you with the other high-achieving students all working together towards a common objective. Once you got to college, it was more, I need to keep up my grades. I need to reach my own goals. I'm kind of doing this by myself in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And so Raritan Valley, probably back in 2009, as far back, began realizing that there's a group of students on our campus that would benefit from being part of a learning community, being part of a cohort, and growing together, and as part of being in this environment, push each other to heights that perhaps they weren't even sure were possible.
Right.
So the creation of the Honors College occurred back in 2011. In the fall of 2011, we brought in our first cohort of students. We had 17 students in that initial cohort,
mm-hmm.
and they represented a cross-section of high schools from throughout Hunter and Somerset counties. It was a unique process because for community colleges to recruit students and having them choose not to go to a four-year school and come to a community college because the experience they're going to receive is equal to or greater than what they would receive at a four-year school,
right.
was a somewhat unique idea at that point.
Yeah.
So getting out to the high school, speaking to the guidance counselors, explaining what this honors college was, mm-hmm. was part of those early years.
Right.
We did a lot of visits to high schools without the students present, really just to inform the counselors that
sure.
we have this new program that is something special, it's something unique to Raritan Valley, that is a program that your high-achieving students would benefit and flourish in, and that it was an opportunity to get the best of both worlds, that they could have the comforts of home, the cost effectiveness that a community college always provides, but with rigorous academics
mm-hmm.
and outcomes that could exceed what their high school options were.
Yeah. I guess I'm curious. It was the economic situation during the 2007-8-9 that made this college think of this? Was there a shift in the academic college post-high school world that you guys saw this opportunity?
No, I don't think it was. I think it's somewhat coincidental that the Honors College happened to launch at a time of the economic downturn.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the academics, Raritan Valley has always been known for strong academics nationwide in the community college world. I think it was another opportunity for Raritan to distinguish itself among community colleges at both the state and national levels in offering an honors college and gaining additional visibility for Raritan as a whole and kind of showing off the amazing academics that were always in place at our college but perhaps weren't as obvious to
right.
all those who live in the counties that we serve.
Right. So I'm going to use some perceptions that I've had over the years of community college that has changed, obviously. I've spoken to Raritan Valley Community College. I've visited there. I've had a number of your folks come on over the last couple of years. And my perception of a community college has significantly changed from the days when I went to college.
Sure.
And the choices that people make today and the options that rare community colleges offer has also changed that perception as well. But back in the day, this is in the 80s and 70s, the community college was the place that people went to if they A, didn't make a four-year college, or they couldn't afford a four-year college, or they needed to kind of regrade themselves because they didn't really take advantage of their high school opportunities, and this was a purgatory, if you will, to show yourself and then move on. That's historical. That's 30 years ago. Sure. Not anything close to Raritan Valley Community College today. Now I go over there and I see that it's becoming a value choice, a very good value choice for students to go. You guys, the Raritan Valley Community College especially, but a lot of the community colleges now have the agreements with the four-year colleges where you get your education 2 years in Raritan Valley and then you move on to the 4 years potentially. So with that complete shift of the way a Raritan Valley Community College and community colleges in general has created this opportunity, why did you see that you needed a special niche of group of students that you needed to take care of in that environment? What does that group of students need that they weren't getting when they were showing up in the early 2000s? I know it's a long question.
Well, I think, like I said, part of it was that the high-achieving students were always coming to Raritan, and they were having to kind of run their own race and plot their own course, and we wanted to provide additional support services and provide some structure that would allow foster an environment where all high-achieving students were taking the same classes together so that as far as their expectations individually, mm-hmm. feeding off of a environment where everybody had big goals and big dreams,
right.
and not having to wonder, if I have a lab assignment and we're a partner, am I going to have to do all the work? Or is it okay that I want to go to an Ivy League school? Yeah, of course, it's great because everybody in that honors program has mm-hmm. may not have the exact same school as a destination, but they have the exact same goals. They hold themselves to a high standard.
Sure.
And putting students like that in that same environment, one, it's great.
Great setting.
Educational practice.
Yeah.
But it's a promotional for the college. It shows the quality of the work mm-hmm. that our faculty and staff have done for decades.
Right.
But it also puts students in a more advantageous position because past success paves the way for future success, as it is with many things in
right.
life. And those first couple of years where we were, as an honors college, trying to get the word out, trying to get guidance counselors and schools to buy into the premise of we're a first choice school, not a backup plan.
Well, that's apparently that's come out loud and clear over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Well, so.
And that's true, and that's not reserved solely for the Honors College. That's
yeah.
in general because
yep.
there was always a misconception that if you go to a community college, you're somehow deferring your dreams or closing doors on options.
Right.
But the reality is you're giving yourself more options as a result because you're putting yourself in a better position academically.
And financially.
And financially. And you have greater clarity in what you want to do with your life.
Yep.
And you know yourself better, so you're not transferring to a school that you might have gone to out of high school because of peer pressure or because that's where my friends went or that's because where my parents want me to go.
Mm-hmm.
You're now picking schools because of who you are. You've maybe changed your major and gained greater clarity on what you want to study.
Yep.
Sure, you've saved
no
some money. You've
yep.
gotten high-level academics.
Yep.
You've gotten a chance to be involved on campus because perhaps at a big school when you go away, you don't hit your stride on a personal level until maybe your junior or senior year where you feel like, okay, now I want to be a leader. I want to be a voice on campus.
Right.
At Raritan Valley, you get started from day one. So when you transfer as a junior after finishing your associate's degree at Raritan, your leadership skills are much more enhanced than perhaps a student who spent their first 2 years kind of just trying to figure out how their big four-year college works.
Yep.
Those Raritan students are coming in as juniors, confident, academically prepared, and have already experienced success that comes with leadership and the confidence that you gain as a result of seeing something you've been a part of grow,
mm-hmm.
and those are those are things that aren't apparent at the beginning, but as you continue evolving throughout your Raritan experience, what they look back most fondly on when they graduate are the experiences they had and the understanding that those experiences may not even been available at a four-year school had they chose to go there.
Sure. Now, the since you said the first one you opened was 17 students.
Yes.
Well, I still got so many questions. Okay, so they're obviously not all studying the same...
Not the same major.
Major. Yeah. So how did you get them to be cohorts, but yet they're so diverse in their direction?
Well, what we did was when we designed the curriculum, we identified core general education courses that were applicable to all majors.
Okay.
So to clarify, every student in the Honors College is not taking the exact same 20, 21 courses needed for their associate's degree. They're taking usually about 8 or so honors classes, and we've identified classes that are common to every major, such as English 1, English 2, a math, a psychology, classes that every major needs in some form. And so therefore, students are getting the best of both worlds. You could be a business major, an engineering major, an English major, and all be in the Honors College because you're taking your non-major classes as part of your Honors College cohort,
mm-hmm.
and then you're taking your major-specific classes with those similar students who are interested in business, engineering, or English.
Right.
So, you're getting the best of both worlds. You're not in a little bubble where it's just the 25 or 30 honors students, and then you're all together and you never interact with the rest of the college.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting a varied experience because you're getting honors classes with your other honors classmates, but then you're also taking engineering or business or any major with those other students who have the same career pursuits as you.
Okay. So you're getting – it's two different environments, but it's giving you a diverse perspective.
Correct. So nice. So the gen ed classes, that core that every student needs, those are the honors classes, and that allows us to offer the honors experience to any student pursuing an associate's degree. It's not major specific.
When you guys released this, did you think you were acquiring another group of students that you had not reached before, or did you simply replace students that you normally would have had on campus and just give them a better opportunity?
I think initially, until our visibility rose and until our success started being evident, we were probably attracting many of the students that we would have gotten already,
mm-hmm.
but we were collecting them and bringing them together as part of a learning community in a cohort. But I would say as we've evolved over the last few years, now, like I said, we're heading into our sixth year, I know for a fact because as we have to interview the students. That's part of our application process because for the Honors College, the application process is different than the regular RVCC admissions process.
Right.
Part of the Honors College application process includes an interview. And in an interview, we often ask the students, what schools are you considering? Because often they're interviewing with us while they haven't finalized their choice yet.
Yep.
And they'll tell us they've gotten accepted to a litany of schools. You know, Rutgers, a lot of the in-state schools, some great out-of-state schools. And they've heard about the Honors College, and they now want to find out if this is a viable option for them before they make their decision. So we've gotten to the point now where we're on par with students at other schools to where we're now a viable option as we weigh the pros and cons of all the schools when the students sit down with their families and discuss where am I going to spend my next fall semester.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer if school A, B, or C doesn't work out, perhaps Raritan Valley. Now it's Raritan Valley's on par with those other schools, and what does that bring to the table that my other four-year options don't?
Right.
And
well, it's so funny. I one of the things I do is every morning I have a financial planner that we talk about the markets, and we have a radio show on Hunter Ship Radio. It's the Something's About Money show with Joe Patton and Michelle Heide. Joe Patton says that every student should do a business plan when they go to college.
Yeah,
and his theory is that if you looked at your business plan and the investment of your college education and then paired it with your eventual income generating career, that you might make a different choice. So voila, what you guys are doing not only puts you on par with the four-year colleges from an academic point of view, But it also makes you a viable choice because it becomes a cost-benefit analysis. So you're getting a better value.
Oh, absolutely. I tell the students all the time. I mean, you can come to Raritan Valley for 2 years and then go to the same four-year school you were planning to go to at a college.
Right.
And you could tell your family to buy you a SUV or if you went to a private school, have them buy you a Ferrari.
Yeah.
And because that's the amount of money you're going to save in 2 years coming to Raritan. So you can go to the four-year school and get a four-year degree or come to Raritan for two, the four-year for two, in the same four-year window, you have the same bachelor's degree.
Yep.
You probably have a better understanding of what school you're going to and why. And you're not going to be in student loan debt until you're 35 or 40.
And you got a support structure with your family.
Absolutely. And you have two or three extra years to transition, mature, prepare for the next step.
It might not be fair for me to ask this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you know what the four-year colleges, what the dropout rate is?
I don't. No. I'm sorry.
Because I get the feeling that it's pretty significant. I thought it was somewhere in the 30 to 40% range. That when you went into a four-year college the first 2 years, because it was just overwhelming like you were talking about at the beginning of the show, and you can't find yourself, and you figured out that your major isn't the right one for you, that a lot of people bolt out of there. Here you're giving people a lot more opportunity to find themselves, gain their footing, gain their maturity, and get on the positive track in a better pace.
Absolutely.
Not a rushed pace. Like the four-year college, everybody thinks they got to have the degree in 4 years. It's just not the way life is anymore.
No, you have to run your own race in life and in college. And we have over 80 articulation agreements with four-year schools that have specifically outlined.
I love that.
We have students that transfer all over the country and now globally, because now we have agreements internationally.
Yep. Really?
Yes. University of Greenwich and a few others that we're developing.
That's a new development.
So we're in the midst of globalizing. So it's really going to be, come to Raritan and go anywhere. And that's not limited to the United States any longer.
No.
It's definitely, like I said, it's a first choice school. It's no longer, or if it was ever considered a backup plan or a plan B, it's certainly not now.
Okay. So now my next question is, so you've taken this cool cohort, you've mixed them amongst the general population of RVCC. What have you seen? Have you raised the tide? Have you raised the boats of everybody else that's sitting there looking at it, and watching the success of this plan and the general population is trying to achieve that same level, or are they trying to get in after the fact? Is there a possibility?
Yes, absolutely. The Honors College does accept transfer students in as sophomores. So if a student spending the full 2 years at Raritan in the Honors College is required to do at least 8 honors classes within 2 years, we will accept select transfer students in after their freshman year. They have to do at least 4 honors classes in their final year, in their sophomore year.
Okay.
And to be eligible, they have to earn a 3.5 or higher GPA in their first year at Raritan.
Okay.
So there's incentive for students who maybe didn't get in to the Honors College out of high school, because we do reject students because we have it's a competitive admissions process. So we will have situations where students want to be in the Honors College, but unfortunately due to the size of our learning community, our cohort, are not able to get in. And so an incentive for them is to work extremely hard in their first year and reapply as transfer students. And we've had that happen.
Wow.
Additionally, the Honors College classes, after we get the Honors College students enrolled, we open up remaining seats in those classes to the general RV population.
Okay.
So any student with a 3.5 GPA or higher who wants to sample an honors class but perhaps isn't ready to fully immerse in the cohort-based honors college can take an individual honors class of his or her choosing. And what happens is, more often than not, the students just love the experience and they see it as like, wow, this is what I need. And because everybody is so motivated, everybody's at that same level of, I want big things in life. I have the same passion for learning. And then those students will often apply to get into the honors program the year later as transfers. And one of the reasons they list when we interview them is, I had an honors class with some of the Honors College students my first year, and this is an experience I have to have.
That's got
to
be the best qualitative answer you can get right
absolutely
there.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Is. Absolutely.
Wow. So, all right, you started out in 2009 with 17. How
2011.
Oh, 2011. How has it progressed from that point?
Well, now we have that was the first year. Now we have both a freshman and a sophomore cohort.
Right.
We're at 47 students now.
Okay.
And this past fall that we just started back in September, we enrolled our largest cohort of 30.
Okay.
So.
And what's the population of RVCC?
RVCC has around 8,000 students total. Okay. And so, again, we have about 47 total in our program. So we do. Yeah, we're
that's
certainly.
That's honors right there. 0.5 is honors. Okay. So you have 30 students right now, and that's the freshmen coming in?
30 freshmen and 17 sophomores.
So you have 47 total right
yep.
now. Okay. What is the criteria? You're going out and you're shopping this option to the high schools in the area, not just in the area, but certainly in our area. What do these students need to know to be involved?
Sure. To be eligible, you have to have a 3.5 or higher GPA in high school.
Okay.
You have to be in the top 20% of your high school class. And for an SAT, we're looking for anything usually over 1,700 or higher. And we ask that you have two of those three criteria met.
Okay.
And then, so that's the basic academic.
So just for my own and for qualification purposes,
sure.
So if I don't have a 3.5, but I do have the 1,700, and I'm still in my 20%, I'm still good.
Correct.
You'll be considering me.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Despite being an honors program, we are at heart a community college, which means we employ a certain amount of common sense to our application process. It's
sure.
not a rigid. You have a 3.49. Don't bother. we have a holistic look at things, and that's why for us the entire application matters, not just did you meet a certain set of measures, because as we tell the students, who you are is not a piece of paper and a series of exams and metrics.
Sure.
Who you are is a collection of experiences and
right.
passions for learning and things, you know, things that always can't be put in a little box.
Right.
And so that's why for us the recommendation letters are important. Again, I guess to differentiate between the traditional Raritan application, the Honors College application requires two letters of recommendation,
mm-hmm.
one from a high school instructor, the second from either another instructor or a guidance counselor.
Right.
They have to write a 500-word essay on why they'd like to be a member of the Honors College.
Mm-hmm.
And then once all those application materials and the supporting documents are sent to us, high school transcripts, SAT scores, et cetera, we'll then review the applications that have come in, and then we'll call the students that we're interested in meeting with to come in for an interview. And at that interview, we'll get a chance to know them more, to answer some questions, to fill in the blanks, to let them really talk about who they are as a person.
Right.
And, again, pieces of paper may give us some basic understanding of their academics, but who they are is something that can't be found out until you get to talk to someone.
Sure. During those interviews, is there a advising testing of their mettle per se? That are you advising them as to the rigors that they're signing up for?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, certainly it's evident in the materials that we hand out. It you know, on the application, it talks about the expectations, but we do convey in those interviews. And I should mention that I coordinate the honors program with the faculty member,
mm-hmm.
Lynn Kowski. She's the chair of the math department, and
right.
she's my faculty partner in this. The interviews, it's a very informal. It's just Lynn, Dr. Kowski, myself, and the student. And we're getting to know more about them, what makes them tick. We explain to them the expectations of the college, the GPAs that you have to maintain, the number of honors classes you have to take, what we are all about as an honors college. But then we allow the student to tell us more about, does that align with what their vision of college is?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes students may be extraordinary on paper, but they may lack the motivation.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for.
You need the intrinsic. No
yeah,
doubt.
I mean, a lot of times parents and students will ask us what you're looking for, because I guess that's a common question that four-year colleges get all the time for admissions.
Well, that's
what are you looking for? What are you looking
for? That's the extrinsic.
And what I always tell them is pretty simple. We're looking for extraordinary. And you can define extraordinary however you like. Because,
ouch.
You know, we've had valedictorians in our honors program. We've had,
cool.
You know, three-sport star athletes. We've had students with 2,200 on their SATs. You know, we've had students that have turned down extraordinary colleges. We've had a wide a wide array of students, and so when those applications come rolling in, it's very right. interesting to see what schools are represented and the interesting stories each application tells. Sure.
Now tell me a little bit about what is it like to be in the program? What would I experience? I know you told me about the cohorts of this
sure.
this energy, but how much more rigorous is the classes that I'm going to take
sure.
in that?
Well, that's also a common misconception about honors, is that honors, a lot of people think that means more work, and it actually just means a higher quality. It's a depth versus breadth issue.
Okay.
So if a regular English class requires a 5-page paper, an honors English class doesn't require a 20-page paper. It just requires a better 5-page paper.
Okay.
Perhaps additional critical thinking. More sources need to be cited, things like that.
Sure.
The honors classes, most students, since, again, they take both honors and non-honors classes every semester between the general education core we mentioned and then some major specific classes, the instructor's expectation for the students is different. They assume you've done all your reading ahead of time, that you've done all your prep work, all your homework. So therefore, no class time really needs to be devoted to let's rehash what you're supposed to have read, mm-hmm. take out the books, who's prepared for this assignment. Your honor students, the expectation is you've done all the pre-reading, you're prepared for class.
Right.
So now the discussion can be much more in-depth. You can touch on topics that perhaps a regular version of the same class may only be able to skim. You can go into greater depth because that extra class time is freed up to really delve into things.
Sure.
Most honors classes are taught in almost in a seminar style. Pull the desks around in a circle and let's just have a conversation.
Right.
Because it's not about old school, just take notes until your wrist hurts from all the writing.
Sure.
But rather understand why we're learning this, critical thinking skills, and really going, making the information your own,
mm-hmm.
which is the essence of learning, rather than just memorization and spit it back to me. Let's develop and extrapolate ideas, and that's I guess the difference, and that's one of the things that we're experiencing in the honors program.
Yeah, educational involvement. You're evolving in your own education as opposed to being lectured. Right?
Correct. You're taking ownership, and you're in the driver's seat of your education.
You're not
just remembering things.
Innate curiosity would
Absolutely.
be a huge characteristic of what you're looking for.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very cool. How has the success been? Now you've been doing it since 2011. You've had at least two or three
graduating classes.
Mm-hmm. Have you tracked how they're doing?
Absolutely. I am also the advisor for the Honors College, so I'm fortunate enough. Every time they come to me and ask me for a recommendation letter, I tell them the price of that letter is you have to tell me where you're going and how you're doing and stay in touch with me. Fortunately, after 2 years of building a relationship with them, they're more than happy to keep me updated on how life is, and I'm happy to say that even the first graduating class, who, by the way, just graduated from their senior institutions this year, so
right.
we're very excited about that, yep. are staying in touch. Partly because they're looking for grad school recommendation letters now.
They're still
coming back to their old advisor at Raritan Valley to obtain those letters, which, again, speaks to the connection that we had. That
That's
years
great.
Later, after all those four-year experiences they had, they still come back to Raritan Valley as the place where I can get somebody who really knows me.
Yep.
But we're getting students into every place. We're getting students into Ivy League schools. We're getting students who turn down Ivy League schools.
Wow, there you go.
Yeah, we have a student this fall.
That's right. That's right, Penn. I'm not going there.
That's right. That's right. And we have a student at Georgetown this fall. We have
Sweet.
One at Cornell. We're all over the place. We have students in Arizona, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
One got, they've gotten into schools in California, Massachusetts. It's not a, again, that feeling that, okay, well, everybody's going to go to Rutgers, everybody's going to stay in local schools. That's not the case.
Yeah.
They're setting their sights. Again, they have these big goals and big dreams, and because of the quality of the education, because of, again, that feeling that I'm empowered, I can reach heights that I wasn't sure maybe out of high school I could reach.
Sure.
They're now looking at schools that may not have been a possibility out of high school for a variety of reasons, whether it's academically or whether it's financially or whatever the case. We're seeing students getting into schools that weren't, like I said, weren't options out of high school, and turning down schools that at one point might have been their dream school or their dream destination at a high school, it's now their plan B school or their backup school, which is a fascinating 2 years. When we talk to them at their interviews, we ask them what schools are they considering, and they give us a list of schools. And then 2 years later, you fast forward, half those schools aren't even on their list anymore because they've evolved as a person. Maybe their gaze has shifted away from New Jersey or whatever.
Right.
But at the very, you know, maybe some of those schools are still on the list, but they're now their backup, their plan B schools, because they now feel, again, empowered. They're academically, like I said, all these all these things that we hope that they will experience at Raritan are now coming to fruition. And as a result, the colleges they're getting into are not only they're accepting them, but they're also giving them scholarship money as a result, because they want them so badly to attract them to pick our school. let's throw $20,000-$30,000 at you to make sure that you come to our school.
Sweet. It's a feel-good story. We're going to take a break. We're talking to Greg DeSanctis, and we're talking about the Honors Program at Raritan Valley Community College. We'll be right back with more of Good Morning Hunter in a moment.
You can be the greatest. You can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world. You can beat the war. You can talk the guy, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up. You can beat the clock. Yeah. You can move a mountain. You can break rocks. You can be a man.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
If you're looking to get in front of thousands of new customers, connect with your current customers, you don't want to miss out on the largest business show in Hunterdon County. The 27th annual Hunterdon County Business and Home Expo, coming up on a new date, Thursday, November 5th, in a new location at Hunterdon Central High School in Flemington at the Fieldhouse in Common from 2 to 7 p.m. You surely want to sign up. You surely want to exhibit. Something you don't want to miss. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, Celebrant Officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
This is USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett. Lawmakers are putting the final touches on a budget deal that will also raise the debt limit. The agreement unveiled late yesterday would fund the government for 2 years and extend the federal debt limit. The deal is set to increase spending by $80 billion. It could also contain cuts to Medicare spending. Representative Paul Ryan has blasted the secretive talks that led to the last-minute deal, saying the process stinks. Ryan is in line to succeed outgoing Speaker of the House John Boehner. A vote on the deal could come as early as tomorrow. Housing prices are on the rise nationwide. The S&P Case-Shiller Index for August shows yearly gains of 5.1% in home prices in 20 major cities. San Francisco and Denver reported gains of more than 10% over the past 12 months. Phoenix had the longest streak of increases with its ninth straight gain. Sales of existing homes are running about 5.5 million units annually. You're listening to USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Geico applauds your inner journey seeker.
Geico gives a hearty pat on the back to the part of you that just wants to get out and ride your motorcycle, to take to the open road, and let the wind and bugs fly your way. In fact, bring on the bugs. They can't stop your quest for highway enlightenment. Geico insures not only your car, but also that fine-looking bike.